Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Please open in your Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 10. Looking forward to hearing Brother Brian this evening. Amen. Good to see Susan, Mother. We have been on 2 weeks on the two things so necessary for salvation. One is believing, saving faith, and the other is a surrendered will. Last week, we began to take a look at the blessings of a surrendered will. It gives you energy, strength. When the disciples said to Jesus, after he had just led the woman at the well to him, they said, "Master, you know, you need to eat." And Jesus said, "I have meat that you know not of." And as much as you get strength from physical food, you get spiritual strength from doing the will of the Father. And nothing will put the joy in your walk and bounce in your step. And they said, "No man spake as this man." Where did he get that? One time it is said of him, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Where did he get that energy? Where did he get where he, "No man spake as this man"? And he spoke with one having authority. I don't take any away from the deity of Christ, but we must never remove the humanity of Christ. And the humanity of Christ submitted his will to the Father. And he always did those things that pleased his Father. And he continually sought the will of his Father. And as a result, he said, "My meat, I get energy." If you be lacking zeal, if you be lacking joy, if you be lacking energy, it could be you haven't been seeking the will of the Lord, and I highly recommend that. It is one of the blessings. Another blessing of a surrendered will is we looked at the story of Jesus liking what the kingdom is like, and to one he gave 5 talents, and one he gave 2 talents, and because the one with 5 talents willingly used those 5 talents, and the one with 2 talents used faithfully his 2 talents. The Lord said to each of them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then he said, "Because you've been faithful here, we're going to reward you here." And then he said to each one, "Enter into the joy of the Lord." The kingdom of God, although it is not complete, it did begin at Jesus' baptismal. And it is still being developed, but you entered into the kingdom of God when you became a Christian. And that joy is not when you finally die and get to heaven. That joy that you get to enter into is a result of you doing and seeking the will of the Father. And we saw that miracles happen because of a surrendered will. I want to look today, and we're going to move off of this, but another blessing of a surrendered will is if somebody's to be saved, and if you and your life is to have an influence on someone to be saved, it comes out of your surrendered will. And I'll show you that in Scripture. But let's begin by looking at St. John chapter 10, because Jesus did miracles. Everything he did, it was a result of him seeking his Father. "I always do those things that please my Father. Everything I say, everything I do, everywhere I go, I constantly have a desire to please my Father." And he was there for the purpose to seek and to save that which is lost, and to bring people to a saving knowledge of him. No man comes to the Father except by Christ. And so in John 10:37, there were some folks that were not believing him. And he had been preaching the word. He was the word, and yet he often quoted the word. But he said in St. John 10, verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, the word works there is referring to the miracles that he had done. He said, if I'm not doing the works of the Father, then don't believe me. But if I do, though ye believe not me, if you're not going to take my word that I am the Son of God, that I have, I'm the Messiah, and if you're not going to take my word, and if you're not going to even take the Old Testament word that speaks of me, then at least believe me for the miracles that I'm doing. And that's why he said, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Jesus had many reasons for doing miracles. You cannot put it all in one basket on his motives of why he would do a miracle. Sometimes he did a miracle simply as it was birthed out of love. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And we saw a number of weeks ago that Jesus, because of his compassion, would do a miracle for someone. But there were other motives on why Jesus would do miracles. And it was to help develop faith in the person that was not a believer in Christ. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, please turn to St. John chapter 17. And in St. John chapter 17, the wonderful prayer that Jesus has for not only the disciples and his followers at the time, it was a prayer for those that would, because of the disciples' words, that people would believe on the words of the disciples. And Jesus, let's take a look at his prayer that he prays. And we'll take a look at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. Now, who's the alone? That's the disciples right there at the time. But for them also which shall believe. That be you and me. That be us that believe. And why do we believe? Because of their word. Thank God for preachers that have faithfully preached the word of God down through the ages. And so Jesus had you and I in mind when he said, which shall believe on me through their word. How many know you got to have two things in order to have salvation be complete? You must believe and you must surrender your will. And then he says in verse 21, that they all may be one. I want to just have you remember the last time Brother Skip Kincaid was here. Do you remember the sermon he preached on May? And he talked about that the Lord, he said, if you ask anything in my name, Brother Skip Kincaid went to the text. In fact, let's back up in John 15, if you would. I want to cause us to help us understand John 17, remembering a message that Brother Skip Kincaid gave in John 15, verse 16. And Brother Skip Kincaid brought out something that I remember going to him saying, Brother Skip, I've been reading this the last 2-3 years, and I never quite noticed that one word that you have highlighted, and it has meant a lot. But verse 16, he says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And here it is, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he what? He may. And boy, that is very important. He may give it you. And it helps us understand sometimes when you ask something and you don't get it. It's he used the illustration of what we used to do as kids, mother may I. And you may take two steps forward. No, I saw you, you go back. I don't know how you played it, but Brother Skip brought out the word may. That is very important to help understand. Now this same word may, if we could move to now John 17, he's going to use it again. And Jesus says that, I'll let you read it, but I'm going to explain to you what he says, and not that you need me to tell you what he says, you can read what he says. But Jesus has been repeatedly over and over telling the disciples, teaching that I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Over and over, Jesus is wanting us to know, I'm doing his will. And in the garden is the ultimate of that. Not my will, but thine be done. And because of his will, his humanity, sinless as it was, because of his will being surrendered to the Father's will, he could make the claim, we are one. We are one. We're not two. It's not his will and my will. We are one. Or it is two wills, but my will is surrendered to his will. And he wanted everybody to know that. And the reason he wanted everybody to know that, because he is our great high priest and he is our great shepherd, and he sets the example for us. And so now he exhorts us in this verse, as my Father and I are one, may you be one with us as I was one with my Father. By him exhorting us to do that, he is letting us know that as much as I was one with my Father, you need to be one with us. How many know we need to also pray as he taught us, not my will but thine be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then he says, if, and he doesn't use the word if, but because we're encouraged to be one, if your will is surrendered to his and seeking his will as he sought the Father's will, and he wants us to be one like he was one. As he sought the Father's will, you and I are to seek the Father's will. As he wanted to please the Father, you and I are to want to please the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And he says, by doing that, that the unbeliever may know, and that's what will bring them to salvation. May. If you have loved ones, if you have somebody you want to see get saved, you have no influence if your will is not surrendered and you only believe. And that's the point that it's making. And that's why he says, I want you to be one as I was one with my Father. You know how many people there are that believe but have not surrendered. And they do more harm than they may think they are doing. They have no influence. They have no pull upon others. It's when that person is in the world that is lost, that sees you not only believing, but sees you living what you claim to believe. It is that what draws them. If you think that you draw someone by believing but not living what you claim to believe, do you realize you have no influence? And I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but it's the only way that is going to affect, or for your life to have an effect. I remember years ago, after I had become a brand new convert, I'm working in a paint store on the Ventura Avenue, Stanley Paint Store. The The owner of the store, my boss, well, duh, that's a given. It was a lunch break. I'm a brand new convert. I'm reading during the lunch break. We were gathered in the back of the store. I think there was one out front in the clerk taking care, but the rest of us were back in the store. I'll always remember this. I'm reading the Bible. I'm a new convert. I'm hungry. And as during my lunch break, I'm wanting to read. How many know you want to? You just can't get enough of God. And as I'm reading the Bible, there was a fellow that liked to pick on me. Anyway, this numbskull, he makes a derogatory remark. And he said to me, "What are you reading there?" And I knew where he was going. I said, I'm reading the Bible. And he said, "You believe that stuff?" And I said, "Yes." And then there's another gentleman there by the name of George. George is about 70 years of age. He's worked in this store for the last 20 years. And the reason I know that is because the boss spoke up. The owner, E.F. Hutton. And when he spoke, he kind of went to my defense. And he says, "I believe that book." And George, who has worked for him for 20 years, said to the boss, "You believe that book?" And the boss said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Do you?" And the boss said, "Yes, I've been going to the Assembly of God Church for the last 20 years. And George said, "I didn't know that." And my jaw drops. I'm thinking, how in the world, you the boss, I didn't tell him this, I want to keep my job, but how in the world do you the boss claim to be a believer and have worked here and him under you all these years and you have never one time let Georgie know you're a believer? What good is your believing if you're not a willing? And so we've been driving home the point. You've got to have your will engaged. You've got to be willing and seeking. Now, I'm not his judge, but I can judge his fruits and his works, and it was not good. The rich young ruler, when he asked Jesus if he could follow him, looks like he's willing. He's ready to leave whatever he's doing. "Can I follow you?" And looks like he's willing. But Jesus, he knew, according to St. John, the end of the chapter, he knew all men and he knew what was in man. And as we've been driving home, he knew you needed both the willing and the believing. And he knew where he was lacking was the willingness. And when he touched on that one area that was more important to him than following the Lord, his money, he went away sorrowful, but he really went away unwilling. I submit to you, he has no influence on others to bring them to Christ because his will is not one with the Father. You know, this grieves when I see parents. They'll call me up and say, "My boy's in trouble. Would you pray for him? Oh, he needs God." And I'm thinking, you don't even go to church yourself. You're not even serving God yourself. You have no influence on your children. And you won't even live it, and yet you expect your life to have an influence. I just want you to know, and if you're, maybe this isn't for you, but maybe this tape is being recorded and you're hearing it down the road, you knucklehead, you've got no influence. Just by believing. Jesus said that they may know, but the only way they may know is if you yourself are living what you claim to believe. Jesus wants everybody saved. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. Book of Peter says, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world. That's everybody. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And because of that, and because of what Simon Peter said in his book, the Lord is not slack in concerning his promises. And then he went on to say, and the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And because it is, the very reason why Jesus came was to seek and to save that which is lost. And we're all lost. Romans 3:23, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And so because Jesus' desire is that people come to know him, he knows what you need to have in order to make that successful, that uniting. And as we brought out, that's why he knew the woman at the well. He knew she had the willing. As he said, if thou knewest, thou wouldest. But he knew she needed a miracle, something supernatural, to let her know that he is the Savior. And that's why he had a word of knowledge for her. Remember the miracle? He told her, said, you got five husbands. How'd you know that? And by doing that, he's beginning to build her faith. How many know? No man cometh unto the Father except God draws him, and he that cometh unto God must first believe. So you got to come by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please her. How's she going to get that faith? He's beginning to minister to help her get some faith. And how did he do that? By a miracle, by something in the supernatural. And it was starting to work. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. And the more he got to talking to her, that faith began to grow until it became saving faith. And she left her water pot. How many know God knows how to build your faith? And that's why Jesus said, if you're not going to believe me, that who I really am saying I am, then at least do it for the miracles. Because see, the miracles are for the purpose and design, often, to cause faith to rise up in you and say, He is who he says he is. It was a miracle that he gave Paul the apostle. That was an incredible spiritual experience. And that's why he said to Philip, one of the early disciples, he said, before Philip even brought to him, he said, Philip, I saw you under the fig tree. How do you know that? The Lord's beginning to build faith within him. He can do it through the word. He can do it by experiences in the supernatural. Are you with me? But both are needed. Now, if humanity back then needed the miracles in order to come to God, don't we also, with our fallen humanity, which is the same as their humanity, need the supernatural and the miracles also? And this idea that, well, now the word's complete, the canon's complete, and therefore this is all you need, that's a terrible reading of the scriptures. But it's taught, and it's a wrong teaching. They had the word back then. They say, yeah, but it wasn't complete. Jesus knew that, and so he said to the Pharisees, he said, if you're not going to believe me for the word, then at least believe me for the miracles. And they had the miracles, and they still wouldn't believe. And so Jesus knew, your problem's not so much you don't believe. Your problem, you're not willing. And so that's why he gave the illustration about the wheel so often. In fact, I've been going through the Gospels, and every time Jesus spoke about believing, I put a check mark. And every time he stressed the wheel, I put a check mark. You know they're about even. Why? Because they're both necessary. Now, the early church, right after the Holy Spirit fell, and they've been commissioned to go out and to preach the gospel to everywhere. And remember, Jesus told them, knowing the need for miracles to continue, said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And he said, miracles are going to happen, guys. Go. You don't seek the miracle, you follow me, but the miracles will follow you. And as a result, you read in the book of Acts, how often did the disciples gather back, and you know what they talked about? They talked about the miracles. They talked about the, wow, guess what happened? We went out, and they came back with wonderful experiences of the miracles, which were designed for the purpose to help people bring a reality to who Christ is. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason. And I'm not saying that miracles guarantee someone to surrender. There's a lot of people who've seen miracles. The 10 lepers, 9 of them, all of them got a miracle. But only one of them was willing to return. The other had a problem with their will. And so, I think you're with me. Now, that is why the church should be a place where we come in and share our experiences of supernatural things or of God doing something that you know that was God. That was God. And that can come in a million of ways. Joshua asked me to come visit him at lunch. So I went to see him at lunch. Free lunch, I'll go anytime. And Joshua said to me, I love that story you told about you finding the wallet. And I said, oh, Joshua, I'm sorry. That didn't happen to me. That happened to a minister friend of mine. Oh, well, it's still a good story. And then he said, do you have any stories? Do I have stories? So I began to tell Joshua stories of wonderful miracles that I'm not in control of. He's in control of. But he said they'll follow them that believe. And they're for the purpose to build faith. And they're for the purpose to... How many love to hear miracles because it helps your faith? Sure that does. I don't know if you noticed, but about a month and a half ago, I was very self-conscious not to smile. I'm looking to see if you knew why. And the reason was I had a tooth missing here. And so when I'd smile in the mirror, I'd go, oh, look at that pale hole. So I made sure I tried not. And I would be real self-conscious and see if any of you were peeking up in there. You weren't. You were very polite. Or either you knew it was there and you were just faking like you didn't know it. Well, I go to the dentist about a month ago. No, 2 weeks ago. At the dentist, and I share these things, and I have over the years, and a lot of them happen, and I don't share, but I should share, but I'm at the dentist, and let me back up a bit. I had been there a year earlier, and at the end of the session, I was getting some root canals, and while I'm getting this root canal, the Lord speaks to me about the assistant to the dentist. And he tells me, call a word of knowledge. And so I waited for the dentist to leave. I didn't want to embarrass her. And so when I said, and she knew I was a pastor, and we had been discussing God, and I don't remember exactly what said, but I said to her, I said, you know, the Lord showed me something about you. And she said, he did? I said, yes. I said, and I don't know what it means, but I know what I saw. I saw a bunch of shoes. Does this mean anything to you? She goes, no. I go, uh-oh. I said, have you bought any shoes lately? And she says, oh my goodness. Where I work, they just gave me a sack of shoes 3 days ago. And I got a whole bunch of shoes. They're trying to help me out. I said, you know I didn't know that. She said, I know you didn't know that. I said, that's the Lord letting you know he's real. I'm wanting to win this lady to God. And that's why Jesus does the miracles to help faith, ultimately to bring people to the Lord. Now that was a year ago. 2 weeks ago, I go in to get this hole filled. And at the end of the session, the Lord, just before the end, told me something else about her. I had that once before when I was in pastoring in White Salmon. I had one family. I had four detailed words over a period of about 10 years. That's kind of unusual. And but I remember saying to the, after he left, I said, you remember God talking to me? She said, yeah. I said, well, the Lord showed me something again. She said, he did? I said, yes. I said, you have a brother, and this brother is having problems where he's working, and it's been frustrating him. And she starts laughing and says, oh, yes. She said, my brother. I said, well, and I have a word, but, and she said, yes, I do have a brother. He's working on a ranch, and he was mad on how they were treating him, and he quit. And we thought, oh, no. And I said, well, you tell him the Lord knows he's going to work it out. Now, this has got her attention. She knows I didn't know this, and I can't make that happen. So I have to go in for one more treatment. And I'm on the way there, I'm thinking, Lord, you got something else? Because let's get this thing wrapped up. you don't control that. And so I'm there, and I'd forgotten about it. And just about the end, when he's finishing up, I get another word. I thought, oh, no. And yet I'm excited because I really want to see this girl come to the Lord. And so after he leaves, I said, I have another. I said, oh, I start off. I said, do you believe God talks to me? She says, yeah. I said, I have another word. She goes, now what? I said, you have a sister. You got in an argument with her recently. And the Lord wants you to let it go. Love her and move on. And she starts laughing again. She said, I did. Just 2 days ago. And she said, in fact, while I was working on you, I was thinking about her all this time. Now, why does God do that? Because he loves you. And he wants these things to build faith, to bring a reality to the things of God. And people, that is why it is so good. Yours may not be like that. It may be different. But it's still just as important when you recognize it's the Lord. And when you see God working and answering prayer and you know it was not a coincidence, share it. Tell it. Go tell it on the mountain. And those things are so important. And because of a wicked teaching that is out there that makes fun of experiences, and of a wicked teaching that is out there by John MacArthur that says those days are gone. He's gone. John, I hope you're listening to this. I love you, but you're dead wrong. And I don't mean that to be rude. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these experiences are real. They are so real. And I say that Jesus would do miracles for the purpose that it would. And he said to cause people to believe, to be willing. It's not always, doesn't make them willing. I've seen people right in the midst of miracles get up and walk out, not surrender the will. Oh, most of our prayers should be in those two areas. Lord, let my faith be alive and be well, and let my will be surrendered. And may I have the attitude to continually want to please you. And if I'm doing it to please him, then I'll please you. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I haven't gotten that way yet. I've still had a few enemies come up, and I'm working on that one. But people, Seek God with all your heart. Watch Him work and do the miraculous. Whether it be that or whether it be... How many have seen God working in your life? Share that. Share that. That, I'm not trying to make it be in competition with the Scriptures. It should be in complement of the Scriptures. They should not be competing. It should not be one against the other. Yes, it will always line up with the Word. But the problem is some people, they don't know their Word, and therefore they don't accept the experiences. And it's oftentimes because they haven't experienced it themselves. I knew of a minister, said, I have to admit, I had a problem with coming in with experiences because I didn't experience those. And he says, the Lord convicted me of my jealousy. I thought, well, good for him for being willing and humble enough to admit it. Some people need to be repenting over their will. But, oh, people, there's no end. In fact, a little lady in our church back in White Salmon, and Elsie Wake, she just sent us a bunch of fudge. She's the best fudge maker. And I heard my wife in the other room just say, oh, glory to God. And I said, well, you stay out of that stuff. That's mine. But my wife said, you need to call her and thank her. So I called her. She's 85 years old. She was my treasurer for years. And she hadn't heard my voice for a few years. And I said, Sister Wake, do you know I still remember your number? 509-493-2888. Oh, it's good to hear your voice. I said, oh, it's good to hear your voice. And we began to talk. And you know what she wanted to talk about? She wanted to talk about the miracles that had happened in the years that I was there, that God did. And we talked about the miracles. And by the end of that conversation, our faith was this high. And so, you're going to see a miracle right now. I'm done. Would you stand? I could tell you a lot of stories of miracles. Praise be the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Father, we thank You that You're a God that loves us. And You're a God that You don't run out of miracles. You don't run out of answering prayer and doing the supernatural. And how the disciples returned and they talked about all the goodness and what God did. May that always be a result. When I sang this morning that song at the cross, and that verse that said, was it for crimes that I had done? And Lord, it dawned on me again, You died for my sins. You died for my sins. Nobody gets any glory. To God be the glory. Where is boasting, it is excluded. And we give You all the glory and we give You all the praise. Let man not receive any glory. Let man not receive any praise other than that which comes from the throne of, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Let another man praise Thee and not thy own lips, is what Your word says. And may we walk humbly with our God. And may we know, let another man praise Thee and not my own lips. May You exclude all boasting and all pride. And, oh God, may we walk humbly with our God and do right. And may we seek Your will. I'm going to ask you to come find a place to pray. Would you do that? And let's come and just seek Him and seek His will. If you want to just turn around and kneel where you're at, then so be it. But let's call out to the Lord. My house shall be called a house of prayer. That means we are to seek His will. That means we're to give Him thanks and praise. And oh, we seek You, oh God. We seek You. We humble ourselves. And so lift up Your voice. Go ahead and lift up Your voice and begin to worship the Lord and begin to praise Him. Our thoughts should be about Him and His kingdom before they even begin to entertain about ourselves. It's our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And after we deal with God's kingdom, then later we ask for bread and give us this day our daily bread. But oh, at first may we this morning, oh God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Praise be to the Lord. Lift your voice and praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, we praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We seek your face, oh God. Give us eyes to see you working in our life, that we may give you praise and give you glory and honor. Open our eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest, but open our eyes that we might see your marvelous working in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to Jesus.